sportshubcaddy.com.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, Danny Ainge, who you know of your Boston Celtics, but you might also know from listening to Toucher and Rich, shot a 69 at Pebble Beach recently. They asked all the wrong questions on Toucher and Rich, Danny, so I hope that we can get all the right questions asked today, and you can regale us with the story of your 3-under par at Pebble Beach. I can't believe it. I had no idea you were that kind of a player.
Well, so during the early part of the COVID time, I went out west to see some of my family, and I have a lot of friends that are avid golfers, a lot of college buddies, et cetera, a lot of very, very good players. So I was playing quite a bit, and I was just playing okay. I was probably shooting in the mid to high 70s consistently at a few normal country clubs in Utah and Arizona. And I was invited to go play with a friend of mine who has a home at Pebble Beach, and with a handful of people, we were going to go play Pebble Beach and two foursomes and play a couple days, and we ended up staying and playing 3 days. And the first day, the guy that is a member there, I beat him for the first time. He's a really good golfer. He's like a +1 handicap, and he has a place at Pebble. And I beat him. I shot 73, and he shot 75, and I beat him. And so that was with no strokes, and I should get strokes for sure, but I didn't take strokes, and I ended up beating him that day. So the next day, we went out, and he was, you know, ready to get me, and we went out and played a second day, and I shoot 72, and he shoots 74, so I beat him twice. So now he's really, really mad. And I said to him at dinner, he was like trying to get in my head, you know, I'm going after Ainge tomorrow. I'm playing in his group again. There's no way he can beat me again. And I said to him, hey, you better shoot better than 70 because I'm going to shoot 70 tomorrow.
Oh, no.
And so anyway, we played and I shot 69 that third day. And he shot 77, and I have stayed away from him. I've been rubbing it in. I've been, you know, texting him periodically, reminding him that I beat him 3 times in a row, and because I haven't been able to play golf for the last 6 months. So that has been, that last 69 is just salt in the wound to my good and dear friend who's a great golfer. And beat him 3 straight days on his home course. That's still killing him, and that's the highlight of my golf career.
So were those the first times you had played Pebble Beach over those 3 days, or had you played the course before?
No, so I got a little backstory to that. My wife, so I have 4 boys that love to play golf, and so my wife was trying to figure a way to get all my boys to come and visit us more often, and she put in a golf simulator last January before COVID, and we had just finished it and put a golf simulator in our home. And it was, you know, the boys were over at the house all the time, and we had so much fun during the COVID time with the family gatherings, and it would usually end in some golf matches. And most of the time I'm playing Pebble Beach on my golf simulator. but I have played Pebble Beach a dozen times or so before.
Okay.
These 3 times. But it is my favorite one to play. I mean, it's like my favorite course. There's so much tradition there. It's like I'm not sure how many better courses in the world there are. So I definitely get fired up to play Pebble Beach whenever I get a chance to play it. And so now by beating this good friend who has a home there, I might have bought myself some more invites back to Pebble since he's so determined to beat me. Matter of fact, he's tried to invite me 4 or 5 times already, which I just go, no, I can't make it. I'm stuck here.
Which you probably could if you wanted to, but you're gonna ride those three matches, those three wins in a row as long as you can. I would do the same thing.
No doubt, yeah.
So you say that you should have been getting strokes. He's a plus one. Are you on the board right now? Do you have a current handicap?
Yeah, I think I'm like a 4 or 5 handicap.
Wow.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah, that makes sense if you're shooting mid to high 70s, which, I mean, face it, Danny, you know this from being around the game for a long time. That is very, very good golf. But to shoot those numbers at Pebble Beach, it's amazing. I've never played it. It's one of my bucket list courses. Were you playing it from where? Member tees? You weren't all the way back, I would assume. Where were you playing it from?
We played it all the way back.
Come on!
You know, I need to be moving up a little bit as I start getting a little bit older. I'm the guys I'm playing with now are in their 30s and 40s and hitting the ball, you know, 25, 30 yards past me. So it's getting to be a challenge, but I still enjoy it. It's fun.
Well, I heard Fred and Rich ask you, like, how far do you hit your drive? Which is, you know, you said 260. They didn't believe it. First of all, 260 is a big drive. People say they hit the ball 300, but virtually everybody does not. So I think a more telling question is, what is your 7-iron distance?
My 7-iron distance from the at sea level at Pebble Beach is between 65 and 70.
Okay.
I can stretch it to 70, but, you know, 65 is really just smooth at Pebble Beach, yeah.
That's, well, I mean, if you can play from the tips and shoot that kind of a number, God bless you. What's your favorite hole there?
You know, gosh, I've thought about that, but I think that I still like number 8. I mean, I like 6, 7, and 8 right there on the ocean corner. You got a par 5 up the hill. It's fun. And then the little par 3 is a challenge. And then, matter of fact, I bogeyed that hole, the shortest hole on the course. I bogeyed. I think it was my only bogey of my 69 round. It's a 100-yard slightly downhill hole. And then number 8 is over the cavern there and over the valley. It's beautiful, like a 5 or 6 iron shot into a small little green. But the whole course I love 18 also. 18 is a fun hole.
How do you play 18? How much do you take off on that drive?
18, I just aim right at the tree in the middle of the fairway.
Okay.
And anywhere in that vicinity. If it goes a little right, I'm okay. If it goes a little left, I'm okay. But that's just my target, right at that tree.
Well, you mentioned your one bogey, so you had 4 birdies in your round of 69?
Yes.
That's fantastic. What was your best shot of that round of 69? And is that your low round ever?
It's not my low round ever, no. But my favorite shot on that day was, my low round is, I actually shot a 66 at the Boston TPC.
Wow.
But my favorite shot on that particular day was I hit it to the left on a left fairway on hole number 10. And I was over toward the 13th hole, matter of fact. I hit it way left, even left of the bunkers. And I had a rescue, a 19-degree rescue club left. I mean, I still had 225, 230 to the green. And I hit a perfect rescue over the bunker, landed it on the green, and got up and, you know, two-putted it. But that was by far my best shot of the day.
You talked about sea level earlier. To hit that degree rescue club, that distance, and all carry, that's a monster shot. You hit that thing pure.
Yeah, no, I hit it as good as I could possibly hit it. And I had a little bit of a rough lie, a fluffy lie, so for it to just stay on the green was good, and had a little bit of a right-to-left breeze that I think helped. Anyway, it was just a fun round of golf. I got up and down out of the bunker for, you know, up and in 3 times in that round. And, you know, I'm probably a 50 or 60% up and down guy out of a bunker, so that was good that I did it 3 for 3.
Well, when you finally do play this buddy of yours again at Pebble Beach, the only acceptable thing to do, Danny, is to ask him how many strokes you're giving him. And that's, I mean, of course he's going to refuse, but at this point, that would seem fair, and that will get in his kitchen and stay there.
Well, Artie, I've already, that was long ago I've told him that. How many strokes does he want?
That's fantastic. Danny, I love hearing the story. And about that simulator, how is that thing? Because I see those advertised from time to time. Is it glitchy at all? Is it any kind of a pain in the neck when you're trying to get it to work, when you've got the boys over and you're trying to have fun? Or is it a good investment?
No, we have a great one. It's a company called Full Swing, and it's been great for us. And we've had it for over a year, almost a year and a half now, and we've had to make a phone call once or twice, and they just help us fix something on it. But no, it's been very low maintenance. It's been a blast. We've had great matches, and yeah, it's definitely worth the time. I mean, just to have our kids want to come over and have something fun that we can do in the middle of the winter is a blast. And hey, but Hardy, I want to know about your trip to Augusta.
Oh well, I already talked about it last Sunday, and I mentioned it at the top of the show. I'll talk about it some more. But have you must have been by now at some point.
I've played Augusta twice.
Okay.
And it's my, you know, I mean, I just love it. I mean, Pebble and Augusta, like, how do you beat that? There may be better courses in the world, but just because of the history and the big tournaments that they have there, and being such a golf fanatic, watching tournaments there and just getting done watching the Masters, that might be my favorite day of the entire year is, you know, watching the Masters.
Yeah, and it truly is. It's another Super Bowl for me, and so few things in life live up to or surpass expectations. You know, we're so much hype now surrounding everything, but especially for an event like that where the venue is more important than the event or even the players, to have it live up to and exceed everything that I had hoped for, it's remarkable. And that's exactly what it did. From the moment I walked in the gates, the entire day I was there, everything was sublime. And I couldn't have gone in a better year, I don't think, because the crowds were minimal. There were no grandstands set up anywhere. If you wanted to walk up to a certain green and watch, you could. You want to walk up to a certain tee box and see Phil Mickelson tee off on the par three, you could. Everything was accessible. And it was just phenomenal. The people are gracious, and they know why you're there. They play into it and know you're there for the best day of your life, and they treat it as such. And it was the best. It was one of the best things I've ever done. I can't overstate it. It's true though. It lived up to and exceeded my expectations.
That's awesome. But you haven't had a chance to play it yet.
I have not, and I tell you, the three courses that I really care about playing in my life are Pebble Beach, which you can do. You know, it's just a matter of making the time and making the tee time and then going and doing it. St. Andrews, which of the old course, which of course you can do also. It's a lot more planning to go overseas and get your tee time. And Augusta, which I've kind of resigned myself will probably never happen. But now that I've walked the course, I only want to play it more. It did not do anything to tamp down my desire to play that course.
Yeah, I went on a golf trip over to Scotland. I mean, Scotland, and we had a tour, like a 8 days of golf planned, and the old club, the old course wasn't on there, St. Andrews, and so like I just bailed one day and went and waited in line. And finally got out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were finishing in the dark. And it was definitely a highlight of my golf life too. Was playing St. Andrews, unbelievable.
Well, I tell you what, if you'd be open to it, when we get around to British Open time, maybe come back on the show. Tell us about St. Andrews, because I don't want to take any more of your time now. But I imagine just the stories from the caddies there are worth a segment in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guys, the member of the course, or the local, I should say, of the that we played with, it was like his golfing experience with him was great. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll come back on.
Perfect. And maybe then you can tell me and everyone else how you hit a hybrid 225 yards all carry at sea level over a bunker at Pebble Beach on your route to a 69.
I got it.
Danny Ainge, thank you so much. Well, hopefully we'll do it again soon.
All right.
That was my conversation with Danny Ainge a few weeks ago. Listening back to it now, did you hear that part where Danny asked me, I want to hear about your trip to Augusta? And I told him all about it. And Papa, he goes, and I said, have you ever been? He said, well, I've played it twice. And he talks about it. I said, yeah, it's just so great. And he says, but you've never played it, huh? And I said, no. Listening back to it now, did it sound like Danny was about ready to say, well, maybe I can get you on there? Like, I think he would. No. But listening back to it this second time, I think maybe there was an opening there where maybe he was going to say something along the lines of, well, you know, maybe we'll have to get out. And now, Danny, once the transition process is done, once Brad settles into the job, once you have a chance to relax, the man has been working nonstop, you know, at this job alone for the last 18 years. And, you know, he's always worked. He's always on the go. Now that he's got a little extra time, maybe he's going to make another trip down to Augusta at some point. Maybe he wants someone to fly down there with. I don't know. Danny, if you're listening, I'm putting it out there. If you don't want to go alone, if you get invited, you know, by whoever invited you to play Augusta the first time, this is the thing about playing Augusta National or joining Augusta National, which, of course, okay, let's forget about joining, number one. If you want to join Augusta National, you can't say, I want to join Augusta National. There's no membership application that you fill out online, all right? You just have to know some people, and then you have to be asked to join. I think playing Augusta National is just about the same thing. You can't let it be known that you want to play Augusta National. But I could let Danny know that I want to play Augusta National. So the next time he gets invited, you know, maybe, you know, you need a fourth. Right? Need someone to go out there and four caddy. Maybe just hit one of your tee shots. Something. Anything. I'm putting it out there. Thanks again to Danny. That was great hearing all about his rounds there at Pebble Beach and just talking. I love talking golf with anyone. I mean, seriously, and not just talking. More than that, I love listening to people talk about golf, talk about their games, talk about shots that they've hit, talk about courses that they've played, holes that they like, places that they want to play. It's just one of my favorite conversations to be had with any person, anywhere, anytime. And that's what we do every Sunday morning on the Sports. Now I feel like Charles Kuralt. Now I feel like we're doing a CBS Sunday morning show. All right, let's finish this thing. I don't know. Joe Murray probably lurking about getting ready to come on the air here in a couple of minutes. Now we're running late, so we got to go. Thanks again for listening to Sports Hub Golf Club. We'll be back next Sunday morning, 7 a.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't head for the clubhouse yet. More of the Sports Hub Golf Club after these on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.